I'd like to read four short scriptures, and the first one is in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, and it's chapter 55, and in my Bible it's page 895. Isaiah chapter 55, we'll just read verse 6. "Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near." And then a verse in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. In my Bible, it's page 1248. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse 1. "And all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near to him to hear him." And then in the book of the Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, in my Bible it's page 1457, Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll read from verse 19. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness for entering into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, the new and living way which he has dedicated for us through the veil," that is his flesh, "and having a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith." And finally, in Romans chapter 10, the book of the Romans, chapter 10, in my Bible, it's page 1361, Romans chapter 10, and we'll read from verse 8. "But what says it? The word is near thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved." Desire to speak of God drawing near. We speak of a Saviour God tonight. A God who has been made known in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. God has been revealed. A God who loves us. God is who has provided so great a salvation. And why has he done that? Because we were sinners. And in a far distance away from him, needing salvation. We couldn't do it ourselves. No one can by any means redeem his brother, or give a ransom for him. For ourselves, we needed a Saviour. God knew it. Soon as man sinned, God knew that man was lost, but man didn't know he was lost. As soon as sin came in, man hid himself. And sadly, we fear God and we hide from God. Well, as soon as man sinned, God went looking. And God said, "Where art thou?" Ah, God was seeking. Why does he want to seek those who've gone away and sinned against him? Because he loves us. And tonight, God is seeking. So Isaiah speaks of it in the Old Testament. He says, "Seek ye Jehovah. Seek ye Jehovah. Seek ye God while he may be found." Well, tonight he can be found because it's a well-accepted time. It's a day of salvation and God is drawing near. He can be found. If you seek him, you will find him because he is seeking you. If you call upon him while he is near, and he is near, you'll find him as a Saviour God. He'll find you. And you will find him. Wonderful joy that will be. So God is drawing near to men in blessing tonight. His arms are outstretched to bless. And how has God drawn near? He's drawn near in the person of his Son. We sang of it. The Saviour Jesus. We'll speak of him because the gospel is about Jesus. Tells us in Romans, God's good news, God's glad tidings, God's good news concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The notice board invites us to hear the news, the good news of Jesus. Gospel is about that. It's about Jesus, who he is and what he's done. He came to glorify God in the very place of sin. But he came firstly to make God known. That was his first object, to make God known. God wants to be made known in your heart and mine. But the other object was to make an escape for those who had sinned so grievously, just like me, as a sinner before God. The scripture says, all have sinned, but I have come to it. I'm the sinner. I have sinned. I don't look on anyone else. I know I have sinned against God. But he's provided a Savior. He's come near in Jesus. So we sang about the birth of Jesus. What does it say at his birth? When he was born, the one who was a Savior God, a man become, came as a lowly babe. And it says there was a great light that shone amongst the shepherds, and they were in great fear. But an angel appeared and said, fear not, a Savior has been born. And then there is glory, there is praises from the heavenly host. And they say, amongst other things, good pleasure in men. God had taken part in his creation in such a lowly way. Why did he take this way? He took it to gain our confidence. Couldn't come in all his glory. We couldn't stand it. He came as a babe and grew up as a man. The one who was God himself, God's glorious son, took that lowly place, a bondman's form. And why? To reach your heart and mine, to go to Calvary, to die for us, so that our hearts may be one, and that we might have full confidence and trust them in faith. So Jesus moved about this world. You know, he's got many names. He's a Savior of the world. He's a King of Kings. There's a solemn name he has, a man of sorrows. He was a man of sorrows. And why was he a man of sorrows? Because he had to go to Calvary to die for us, to bear our sins. He also had to go to Calvary to settle the matter of sin before a holy and righteous God, settle that completely, and to bear the sins of many, that is, those who trust him. So we read in Luke 15 about Jesus walking in this world. We hear very little of the first 30 years, but after 30 years of that mostly hidden life, but not hidden before God, the heavens were opened to Jesus. And God proclaims, my beloved Son, in whom I found all my delight. And then we see his service, maybe very short, 3.5 years. He walked amongst men, went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. But God was with him. And here where we read, it says, all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near to him to hear him. Why were they drawn to him? There was no one like Jesus. They had heard of his fame, no doubt. The one who would even draw near to touch a leper. No one would dare go near a leper. They would be contaminated, but Jesus could touch the leper, not be contaminated. He was a creator God. Another one of his names was Emmanuel, God with us. He came so near to win our hearts. And these persons were drawn. Why were they drawn? It says tax gatherers and sinners. They were those who had a felt need. They weren't much liked by those who were so-called religious, but they found their all in Jesus. They came to hear him. What did he speak about? He spoke about God's love. How there's a place in the heart of God for you and me. Came to tell him that God loves him. So God tonight is commending his love to you and me. That love, friend, has been fully proved in Jesus. Not only in his life to Calvary, but especially at Calvary, when he died in the sinner's place. There was a great distance. When sin came in, it caused a great distance, because our sins have separated us from God. And it meant, as a sinner, I had a wrong thought of God. But Jesus came in. When the fullness of time had come, God had tested man without law and with law. Man has been tested. The last test was, would he receive God's Son? But he was put on the cross to die. Man was tested. No longer on probation any longer. Man was proved to be lost, undone, needed a Savior. But Jesus went to the cross to die for you and me. So that distance that came in through sin might be taken away. So tonight we tell you that God is drawing near. He wants to draw near to you to win your heart. He wants you near himself. God wants us near because he loves us. Is not that wonderful? That we who have sinned, or I should say, I have sinned so grievously against God, and yet he sent his Son to die for me, to bear my sins, and to give me an eternal hope, so that I might be near him in his presence eternally. These persons came to Jesus because they knew his tender love. You know, it's just like today. Jesus has never changed. He said when he was on earth, come unto me and I will give you rest. He still says that, come unto me. And they came. But Jesus had to go to Calvary, and he did. Our sins had to be dealt with. The question of sin itself had to be sorted out. And it required a sacrifice that was perfect. It required a spotless lamb. In the Old Testament, there was many sacrifices, and it was a continual sacrifice. But with Jesus, only one sacrifice was enough. It satisfied God. He gave himself, the one who became a man so that he could go to Calvary to die for us, the one who is over all, God blessed forever, but a man of sorrows, went to Calvary to die for you and me, to go into the darkness and the forsaking of God, that the question of sin might be settled before God, a holy and righteous God, and to bear the sins of those who trust him, so that we might be brought near. You know, he suffered for sins, the just, for us the unjust, to bring us back to God. And he did it perfectly. He offered himself. Of course, firstly, men put him on the cross. But God was over all that, and Jesus knew it. And on the cross, he offered himself without spot to God. God accepted this sacrifice in the one who knew no sin. In him, sin was not. He was a sinless one, was made sin. And he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken because he was made sin. And it speaks of the 3 hours of darkness. We cannot enter into that. No one could penetrate that darkness. But Jesus went into the distance and the darkness of the forsaking of God so that we might go free. And he cries at the end of the 3 hours, it is finished. It was a mighty cry. The judgment was born. Sin was judged. 3 hours of darkness. That was the longest 3 hours. But the Savior bore the judgment. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices were consumed. The cross of Jesus, it was the judgment that was consumed. And Jesus cried, it is finished. And he gave himself. He laid down his life. He said, I have authority to lay down my life, authority to take it again. Men put him up to die, but Jesus gave up the ghost and he went into death. The soldier came and was rather upset that he had died and put a spear into his side. And from a dead Christ, his blood and water flowed. His blood was shed. Shed for you and me, that our sins might be washed away. But firstly, it met the eye of God. The sacrifice met God's claims fully. And the proof of it is that God raised him from among the dead. He went into the grave and he saw no corruption. The Saviour saw no corruption, for he was a sinless one. And God raised him from among the dead, and he's living, and he's at the right hand of God, and he's coming back for all those who trust him and love him, so that we might be with him and near him eternally. What a Saviour. Commend him to you tonight, dear friend. He's drawing near, a Saviour who's died for you, who has removed the distance that sin has brought in. And we tell you tonight, as he draws near, you can draw near to him. He wants you near. God wants you near. Why does he want us near? He wants our company. He wants our hearts. He wants our love. You know, he's loved us. You know, John tells us, the Apostle John tells us in his epistle, we love him because he first loved us. Ah, the love of Jesus. What it is, none but his loved ones know. Well, you can know him tonight. He draws near that you might know him. So we commend such a glorious Saviour. And what a Saviour he is. We read in Hebrews. And the wonderful hope in the gospel is that we shall be with Jesus. He's coming to take all those who love him, who've put their trust in him, and will be ever with him. And will never depart from his presence. Ever be near him. What a joy that will be. In new bodies like his own. Out of all these, new creation where there's no fault. The bodies that we are, these mortal bodies, they're failing bodies. But believer has a bright hope. When Jesus comes, we'll be like him. And we'll see him as he is, and we'll be forever with him. But we have to pass through a difficult world. But in saying that, the coming of Jesus has drawn nigh. Apostle Paul says in one of the epistles, I think it's Philippians, the Lord is near. And when he does come, we're told by himself in the end of Revelation, he will come quickly. Once he's told to come for the redeemed ones, those who trust him, he will come very quickly. It says it three times in the last book of the Bible, in the last chapter, three times, I come quickly. He will come quickly. It'll be in the twinkling of an eye. So this day we're in is very important. Very, very important. It's a well-accepted time. Can't promise tomorrow, but today is the day of salvation. But as we're left here, what a joy it is that the believer has wonderful joy and nearness. If you trust in Jesus tonight, God seals that precious work in your soul. You're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. It sheds abroad God's love in your heart so that you might know that wonderful nearness of his love passing through a difficult world. Joys of his love that has blessed us abundantly. We've spoken of unbounded love earlier today. That can be in your heart tonight. A wonderful joy. So it says where we read in Hebrews, having therefore, brethren, boldness for entering into the Holy of Holies. Believer has boldness to enter into the presence of God, the new and living way which he has dedicated for us. The new and living way by the blood of Jesus. The believer has the right to go into the very presence of God, to draw near to God. So that he goes on to say, let us approach. The writer says, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith. As could be rendered, let us draw near. God wants our company. And you know, the believer can go in there without a cloud above or a spot within. As we're reminded, that one sacrifice of Jesus was enough. It has satisfied the eye of God, and therefore he can remember our sins no more. And because he remembers our sins no more, the believer has no more conscience of sins. That is, that matter has been dealt with. That matter has been settled, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can enter into God's presence. How wonderful it is. Let us draw near. Let us approach. It's a wonderful thought that God wants us near himself. And he wants your heart, dear friend. There is two psalms. A psalm of Asaph, in which he says, it's good for me to draw near to God. He knew the joy of God's presence. And David, King David, he wrote a psalm. And what did he say? Thy countenance is fullness of joy. Or it could be rendered, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Ah. You know, tonight, God is shining towards you. The Saviour is in heaven, and in his face the glory of God shines. God has been well satisfied with Jesus. He's going to show him to the whole world, man after his own heart, who has done all things well. What a Saviour he is. One who will never leave us nor forsake us. And we can enter into God's presence. The believer can. He's kind of pulled. Let us pull into that presence to find our joy there. You know, what we find there is we live in a busy world, and we may feel weakness and suffering as to our bodily conditions or other problems we have. But when we go into the presence of God, there's not a cloud. We can enjoy his love and his peace, settled peace. Can enjoy him for who he is. And of course, we can go into his presence and we can pray. We can pray for all our needs because we have a Savior in heaven who is our great high priest, whoever intercedes for us. And the Holy Spirit who dwells in the believer also intercedes for us. And we know a God who cares for us, a Father who cares, draws us into his presence. So what a Saviour we present tonight. One who will never leave us nor forsake us. You can know nearness with Jesus tonight by simply trusting him. Because he drew near to us, we can draw near to him. So we finished in Romans. How good God is. This is how much God wants you. He even gives you the words. He even tells you. This is what it is. It says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We commend such a Saviour. The word is near you. God gives you the word. Cry out in all your need, you'll be heard. Seek him and you will find him, for he's seeking you. Be wonderful to find a God who loves you tonight. There's no one loved you like a Saviour God who gave his son to die in Calvary for you. And then if you find him, what joy. You can know Jesus as your Saviour. You can be his and he can be yours. A Saviour who loves you, who will never leave you nor forsake you. A Saviour who's coming to take you to be with himself, to enjoy nearness eternally. May you trust him tonight. May you come in all your need. God is drawing near because he wants your company and your trust. May you simply trust him. Trust Jesus as your Saviour for his name's sake.